for a second. I forgot to put this on, and I like to walk around too much, so. I remember the last time, me thinking that was going to be the last time I had the opportunity to preach because I was supposed to be leaving sometime this month. And then everything changed, but I decided I didn't want to press the matter because I wanted to still be able to focus on making sure I get everything taken care of for my family with the move. Then Tanner asked me to preach for him this evening, and I was ecstatic. I was so excited to be able to get up here again, preach again, bring part of the good word again, because it's always wonderful for me, and I want to thank everybody here that's always given me the chance. I know I thank you, say thank you a lot, but I want to continue. I really appreciate the chance to always get up here and to bring the good word. This evening, I want to look at something that, well, it's affected us, and it affects us not, maybe not on a daily experience, but often. I know that whenever I go to work, I've heard people say more times than not, Jason, or Wyatt, or whatever they want to call me there, you don't have the right to judge me. They come to me, they'll say, you don't have the right, or what gives you the right, or, well, who are you? And they continue on with this line of questioning, telling me, I don't have this right. So I started thinking about that a lot more. Do we have the right? And then I started thinking about where are they getting it from? Where are they thinking about this from? Turn with me over to Matthew, the 7th chapter, where our scripture reading came from. Matthew, the 7th chapter. We're going to read just the first verse, because that's normally what is quoted, is just the first verse there. Judge not, that you be not judged. Normally that's where they stop, because they don't want to continue on. They don't want to continue on and actually look at what Jesus was telling us. And that's what we're going to do tonight, though. We're going to continue on. We're going to look from Matthew 7, verse 1 through verse 6. And we're going to look, what was Jesus actually telling us when he says, judge not, that you be not judged. You know, we've looked at it. We've mentioned it already. But people like to use these 7 words, and they like to say that these 7 words give us the authority, or they're the lack of authority. And they say you are never allowed to make a judgment. People like to say that. People like to tell us we are not allowed, period, dot, the end, to make a judgment. So I started thinking more, is that actually the case? Is that what Jesus actually meant when he said, judge not that you be not judged? Are we never supposed to make a moral judgment about another person? Are we never supposed to see wrong in others and point it out? Are we supposed to hold our tongue? I'm convinced, I'm persuaded that through this study that that's not the case. That we are not just supposed to hold our tongue. That we're not supposed to see judgment or make judgment calls when we look at others. But we're going to delve a little bit more, and we're not just going to leave it so simple with that. Because there are times when we must judge. And there are times when it's appropriate to point out the faults in others. We talk about these 7 words. I want to look at just a few examples of when it's used, and not just used in today's world, but also used in today's church. People look at it, and they say, you can't judge me, but they say so when there's an unfavorable criticism. They say so when there's an unwanted criticism. I can't tell you the number of times in trying to teach Logan to sit still, and most of the time it's at 84th Street back where my mom and dad go, but somebody there will come up and say something to me. And I know that there are times when I'm trying as hard as I can to get him to sit more still, I promise. But sometimes it's more difficult than just that. But there's times that people come up and they tell me what I need to be doing differently. I'm not trying to tell anybody here, don't help. Don't give me advice. Don't try and help me, because that's not the case. I want the help. I want the advice because I can use it. But there are those out there who, if they, someone were to come up and say something to them, they're going to look and say, you can't judge me over this. They're going to come up and say that because they don't want it, or because it might not be pleasant to their ears. There's times when it comes to church discipline that people come up and they say, you can't judge me. You can't say I can't be doing this, or you can't say I'm wrong, or you can't say that you all are no longer going to be associated with me, or that you're no longer going to claim me as one of your members. You can't do that. You can't judge me in that way. But as we've seen throughout the scripture, that's actually not the case, because the scripture tells us to do so. Tells us to have church discipline. There's times that those who are teaching err, and people say, well, you can't tell him he's wrong, because in this country, we all have the right to believe whatever we want. And you know that I'm not going to disagree. In this country, we do have the right to practice whatever religious faith we want. Do I agree with it? Not necessarily. But we have the right. But that doesn't mean that I don't have the right, or I don't have the obligation, as the scripture teaches me, to point out when there's a false teacher. I mentioned the first seven words a little bit already, but I want to look at them one more time. It says, judge not that you be not judged. But we're going to look at it now with the remainder of the context. You can continue on, verses 1 through 6. It says there, judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. We can read that. If we were to just read there from verse 3 down, we would see that actually what we're being told is, yes, there are times that we are supposed to be judging. Verse 6 specifically tells us, do not give dogs what is holy. Do not throw your pearls before pigs. How would we know those who we would consider to be dogs, or those who we would consider to be hogs, if we do not judge them? How would we know when not to give something that is holy? How would we know when not to give something that is of value, something that is important, if we were not making a judgment? Continuing on in the seventh chapter, turning over to verse 15. Beginning in verse 15, it says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but a diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Very first part of this, Jesus is giving us a warning. He tells us, beware. He doesn't tell us beware and then just ignore the rest of what I'm saying. Tells us, beware of those who are false teachers. Beware of those who are wolves in sheep's clothing. And then he goes on and he tells us, how? How are we going to notice if they are wolves in sheep's clothing? We're going to notice by examining their fruits. We're going to notice by looking and seeing what is coming from them. Brothers and sisters, there's no way for us to do this. There's no way for us to examine their fruits unless we are judging their fruits. There's no way for us to know what is coming from them unless we are making judgments. Judgment elsewhere in the scripture. Turn with me over to John, the 7th chapter. John, the 7th chapter, there in verse 24. There it says this, "Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment." In this verse, Jesus specifically tells us that we are to judge, but he tells us we are to judge with right judgment. We're not to judge by the appearance of others. What does he mean when he tells us that, if we're not to judge by the appearance of others? I think back to something that actually happened to me this past week before that. I was standing in line at Walmart. And there was two ladies in front of me. One looked like she was a grandma of three kids that were with her. The other was an older lady there on her own. And one lady, the one who was there on her own, looking and watching, shaking her head. And then she looks back at me, and kind of with this look of, "Do you see these kids? I can't believe what they're doing." Well, guess what? We don't know the whole story there, do we? We don't know all of what was going on there, do we? No, we don't. But instead of making a judgment on what was going on, that's a time that we shouldn't have been making a judgment, because we don't know. And there was nothing sinful going on. There is nothing that which would condemn either the older lady with the kids or the kids. Nothing going on that would warrant judgment. But many times, that's what people like to use, is the appearance. And we're told not to use that. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. First Corinthians, the 5th chapter, there in verse 9. There it says this, "I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people." Not at all meaning the sexually immoral of this world, or the greedy or swindlers or adulterers, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I am writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother, if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed, or is an adulterer, reviler, drunkard, or swindler. Not even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those outside. Purge the evil person from among you. When we think about that, which is church discipline, we are to look at those within our own congregation, those who we associate with every day, those who we call our brothers, those who we call our sisters. And if we see something wrong, we are to purge them out of our congregation. Purge them out of our midst. If we think about the verse, it tells us that a little leaven leavens a whole lump, right? Well, that's exactly why we're told to do so. Because we need to get that leaven, or we need to get that evil away from us. Turn over to 1 John 4. 1 John 4, there in verse 1. There it says this, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world." We've talked about false prophets a little bit already, false teachers a little bit already this evening. But here it tells us a little bit further. It tells us a little bit more about what we are to do. And that is, we are to test the spirits. We are to prove the spirits. What's it telling us there? It's telling us there that we are to test what they are saying. I'm going to go off on a little tangent here just for a moment, but it still has to do with what we're talking about. When we look, or when we hear what somebody is speaking about, when we hear what's being said up here, no matter who it is, we don't need to just be sitting in the pew listening, necessarily. Rather, we need to be sitting there with our Bibles open, following each scripture, looking and making sure that, yes, what he is saying is from the Word of God. Because otherwise, are we testing the spirits? Are we proving that what's being said is not false, but rather truth? Or are we taking man's word for it? Within the Catholic Church today, I had a friend, a neighbor growing up. And I asked her one time, I said, when was the last time you opened up your Bible? And she told me, she says, I don't think I ever have. And I asked her why. Why is that? She said, well, we just take what our priest tells us. I wonder if they were to actually open up their scripture, open up their Bible and study and see if what they're saying is the truth, if it would still be the case. If the Catholic Church would still be as large as it is today. We've been talking about this judgment. We've been talking about how Jesus does not condemn judgment. But he does condemn certain kinds. He does condemn certain types of judgment. We've talked about already the judgment on appearance. And how that is a judgment that we are not to have. But if you turn back over to Matthew, the 7th chapter, we're going to look at another type of judgment that we aren't to have. Matthew 7, verses 3 through 5. We're going to read that once again. It says, why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye, you hypocrite? First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. What judgment is Jesus condemning here? He's condemning that which is a hypocritical judgment. That which is one who has a log in their own eye, but insists on looking at others before themselves. This morning in our adult class, we talked about self-examination. And that's exactly what we are to do prior to taking the speck out of our brother's eye. We're to look at our own and make sure that we can see clearly. Because otherwise, what we're actually doing is hypocritical judgment. And that is condemned by Jesus. Galatians 6 and in verse 1 gives us another wording of this type of judgment. Galatians 6 and verse 1, it says, brothers, if anyone is caught in transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you be tempted too. How do we keep watch on ourselves, lest we be tempted? Self-examination. Looking inward. Making sure that our lives are right with God. Because if they aren't, well, then there's something we need to do, isn't there? We think about this, the self-examination. We think about this looking inwardly. And you know, sometimes we look and say, well, so what we're saying then, or what I'm up here saying then, is actually just that whenever somebody else has a speck and I need to go take care of that speck, that's when I need to look inward. That's when I need to do my self-examination, and that's not the case. That's not the case whatsoever. Matter of fact, that we should constantly, consistently, always be doing our self-examination. We're given a time on the first day of the week when we partake of the Lord's Supper that we do have a chance that is set aside specifically for us to examine ourselves. But brothers and sisters, that's not enough for us to just do it one time a week. We need to be doing it always. We need to be doing it at all times, because if we aren't, then we will be more susceptible to falling. There's another type of judgment that Jesus condemns. Let me rephrase, there's another type of judgment that the Scripture condemns. Turn with me over to James, the second chapter. James, the second chapter, there in verse 13. There it says this: "For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." Now turn with me over to Luke, the sixth chapter. Luke, the sixth chapter, there in verse 36. There it says this: "Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." When we think about this type of judgment that we are to have, it should be a judgment that comes out of mercy. It should be a judgment that comes out of love. A mercy and a love to help build others. A mercy and a love to help edify and to help get others to Christ. Not a judgment that is simply there to help build myself up. It's to help build others up. There are times that we're going to have to make judgments in our life. And if anybody comes and says, "Well, we don't have the right," the Scripture teaches otherwise. The Scripture teaches us that we are to have judgments, and judgments on others. How else would we know if it's evil company? How else would we know if it's those who we should not be associating with? But when we have those judgments, we need to remember certain things. First, we must remove the plank out of our own eye. As we've already mentioned this evening, we must be able to see clearly. We must be able to see that speck and to not have someone come at us and say, "Well, you were doing this and this and this, so you don't have the right to do that." We need to make sure that our eyes are clear. We need to be sure that what we're doing is out of love, mercy, and that we're judging righteously. And we're not judging for my own self. Turn with me over to 2 Timothy, the second chapter. 2 Timothy, chapter 2. Beginning in verse 24. There it says this: "Then the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth." We need to be sure that when we are judging, we're doing so kindly. We're doing so with patience. And we're doing so with gentleness. Because otherwise, we're doing so out of self-righteousness and not from what the Scripture teaches. And when we judge, we must make sure. Let me stop, restart this thought again. We've looked at already in Matthew 7 where it talks about dogs and hogs. And we think about that, it tells us that we aren't to cast our pearls before them, or not to give dogs what is holy. If you turn over to Matthew, the 10th chapter. Matthew, the 10th chapter, reading verse 12 through 15. There it says this: "As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return." If we stop right there for a moment, in order for us to know if the house is worthy or not worthy, we have to do what? We have to make a judgment. But as we continue on, it says this: "And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. We must make a judgment even when we're teaching others. Because if we're teaching others and they're not being receptive, they're not truly wanting to hear the word, they're not truly wanting to hear what the truth is, the scripture teaches us to dust off our feet and move on. To be done and move on. Because we can't waste our time with those who are not receptive when there are those out in the world who will be receptive. Some might say that me saying that's a little bit harsh. That simply is what the scripture teaches. And it is harsh. But judgment will be even more harsh on those who don't follow the scripture. This evening, we've talked about judgment. And we've talked about the judgment between brothers and sisters. We've talked about the judgment that we are also to have when it comes to the world. But there's one judgment we haven't talked a lot about, and that's the day of judgment. I didn't want to go this whole time without talking just for a short little while about the day of judgment. Because ultimately, that's what it's going to come down to for us. Turn over to James, the 4th chapter. James, the 4th chapter, begin reading in verse 11. There it says this: "Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against the brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor?" In these verses, it tells us that there's only one lawgiver. And that lawgiver is God. That lawgiver is our Father in heaven. And if we are judging self-righteously, if we are judging as hypocrites, if we're judging out of jealousy or bitterness or selfish ambition or any other sin that you want to think of, then we're judging wrong. We're not doing so out of love or mercy or kindness or gentleness or patience. And we will have to face our Father in heaven. John, the 12th chapter, there in verse 48. John 12 and verse 48. Tells us this. It says, "The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day." If we reject God, reject His mercy by not showing it to others, reject His love by not showing it to others, we will be judged one day. Our last scripture that we'll look at this evening is taken out of 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, in verse 10, says there, "For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." We've talked about bearing fruits a little bit this evening. I ask you, if you were to examine yourself right now, are your fruits good or are they bad? What type of fruits do you have? If the world sees you today, or if someone comes up to make a judgment on you today, what type of judgment is that going to be? I hope that we can all say that all we have is good fruit. But sadly, I don't think that's actually the case. Because I know for me, there's times in my life that it's not the case. That there are times that I need to work and make sure that my fruits are well tended. But yet, we talked about the judgment day. And I ask, are we going to hear, "Enter in, thy good and faithful servant," or are we going to hear, "Depart from me, you worker of lawlessness"? I hope it's the first, but if it's not, and you haven't been baptized, and that's the reason it's not, we have this opportunity, as we always do when we get together, offering the Lord's invitation for anybody who needs to come forward to be baptized, or if you have been baptized, and yet you have fallen away, you have been a judger, but doing it out of self-righteousness, or for some other reason, you have fallen away and you need the prayers of this congregation, we ask you to please make things right as we stand and sing.